Well, praise the Lord. This is Mark Irvin, and I am so glad to be with you again for another class on prosperity, another class on walking in divine prosperity. I just pray, Father, right now in Jesus' name, for each and every person, each and every Bible school student. Father, I know that it is your plan for them to walk in prosperity and to increase in their finances. Father, I know that you have provided that for them through the redemptive work of the Lord Jesus. Jesus, you were made poor that we might be made rich. That curse of poverty is broken. Everything that we put our hand to prospers. And we give you the praise and the glory. Thanks for that you provided for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can open your Bible to 3 John, the first chapter, verse 2. 3 John, first chapter. Of course, there's only one chapter in 3 John. 3 John, chapter 1, verse 2 says, "Beloved, I wish above all things, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers." Notice, he says, as your soul prospers. We've already seen this in great detail. We are his dearly loved, and it is the will of God. God's word is God speaking to us. This is his word, and he loves us. He tells us that he loves us in this verse, and he tells us that he wishes above all things that we prosper and that we are in health, even as our soul prospers, even as thy soul. Notice, it does not say even as thy spirit prospers. It says even as thy soul prosper. Your spirit has already prospered. Your spirit is as prosperous as it will ever become. You have everything. You're blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. And you know that the heavenly places are your human spirit, the place where the place that is the holiest of holies of the Old Testament. In the New Testament, the holiest of holies is your spirit. This is the place that the Holy Spirit lives. And through the Holy Spirit living in you and through God recreating you on the inside, you're blessed. And you're blessed with the ability to prosper. Prosper. You've prospered in the Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit leading you with your finances. You have the Holy Spirit that gives you ideas on what to do with your finances, on when to invest if you're an investor, when not to invest, what to invest in, what not to invest in. If you're an employee, he will give you ideas on what to do at the place where you work. If you own a business, he will give you the wisdom on how to make decisions in that business to cause that business to prosper. He will lead you where to sow your money. The Holy Spirit, he's on the inside of you, and he is there to lead you. In fact, I like this verse in Isaiah 48 and verse 17. In fact, let's go over there. This is an Old Testament passage of Scripture, but it also has to do with your soul. You know, you've prospered in the Spirit, but in your soul, there are many things that you must learn. And there's much renewing of the mind that needs to take place. Or, you know, if you grew up in a poor family and your family was poor and the generation before it was poor and the generation before it was poor, then in your soul, you're going to have a lot of things that need to go. And in your soul, you're going to probably think in the direction of lack and in the direction of poverty. But when you start seeing what God's word has to say about you and that you are blessed because you're in covenant relationship with him, you're a child of God, you're a son of God, you're a king, the kingdom of God is in you, and that everything that you put your hand to, it's God's desire for what you put your hand to prosper. When you start seeing all these things, you're going to start changing in your thinking. You're not going to think poor no more. You're going to think rich. You're rich. Jesus was made poor that you might be made rich. Hallelujah. Isaiah 48. We're going to get this verse right yet. Isaiah 48 and verse 17. Isaiah 48 and verse 17. It says, "Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer." Here's that word Lord again. The word Lord in the Old Testament is a reference to Christ in the Old Testament. "Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer." Well, who is thy Redeemer? Jesus is the Redeemer. "Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit." Hallelujah. He will teach you to profit. That's something that you have to learn. And God will teach you. The Lord God, He will teach you. "I am the Lord God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go." He'll teach you how to profit and what you put your hand to, and He will lead you along the way. God's not going to lead you into a life of poverty. He's not going to lead you into a life of lack. That's not His life. Does God ever have lack? Is God ever poor? Is He ever short in His finances? No, I'll tell you something. God lives in prosperity, and He's the one that put the gold in the ground. He's the one that put the silver in the ground. He's the one that put all the things here in this earth, not for the devil's crowd, but for you and I, God's sons and daughters, to enjoy in this life. And if anybody ought to be rich in this world, it ought to be the body of Christ. Hallelujah. Because we are blessed, and because we know who the source is, and we know why all this stuff is here. God put it here for you and I, for you and I to enjoy. Now, we are teaching on the purpose. What is the purpose of prosperity? What is the purpose of prosperity? And in our last lesson, we saw that the things that we've given up in this life, and there are times, you know, you have to walk away from some things. And the point is, where's your heart? You know, if God asks you to give something up, or if God asks you to walk away from something, and I shared with you the testimony about growing up on a farm and being a part of a big farm, you know, lots of land and lots of opportunity and lots of potential and all those kind of things. But then the Lord told me, He said, "I called you to be a spiritual farmer. I didn't call you to be a natural farmer." And that was not very easy in my soul, and it was not very easy for my natural father, for my dad at that time. You know, he wasn't walking in the ways of the Lord and didn't completely understand the decisions that I was making to go to Bible school and then go into the ministry. But you know what God tells us in His Word, that the things that we forsake in this natural life, He will bless us back 100-fold, it says, in this life. He doesn't say it's going to always be easy, because He said there will be persecution that will come. But He did tell us in Mark the 10th chapter, and we studied this in our previous lesson, that He will bless us back 100-fold in this life. And I'm thanking Him for it. Everything that I've walked away from, and it'll be the same thing with you. Anything that you walked away from to follow the Lord and follow His will and His plan for your life, He's going to bless you back 100-fold in this life. Doesn't say in the life to come. It says in this life. Yes, you're going to be rewarded in the life to come, but the scripture tells us that the things that we walk away from, the natural things that we walk away from, houses, brethren, mother, father, lands, all these things, He said, "For my sake and for the gospel shall receive 100-fold in this life." Isn't that awesome? Now let's look at another passage of scripture in the Gospels. Go with me to Luke, the 16th chapter. That's Luke, the 16th chapter. And here in Luke, the 16th chapter, we find a business accountant. And he is the business accountant. He's responsible for the finances of a rich man. Luke 16 and verse 1. And let's look at this. It says, "And he said also unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward." Or you could say a business accountant, someone that was responsible to take care of his money, to take care of his finances, to oversee his books, to pay his bills, and to see to it that everything balanced. "And the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods," or he had spent his money in the wrong way. He had not handled his finances in the right way. "And he called him and said unto him, How is it that I hear this of thee, give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward. So what happens? This guy's going to lose his job. He's telling him, he said, I want you to bring all the books. I want you to bring all of the paperwork, everything that that you've been responsible for. I want you to turn it in, because you're fired. You're going to lose your job. It's over. It's done. You haven't taken care of my money the way that you were supposed to. You've wasted my money. Verse 2 again, and he called him and said unto him. Now Jesus is telling this story here, and he's going to tell us here in this story about this rich man, the steward, the purpose of finances. It says again in verse 2, and he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward. Then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? So this steward, he's thinking, you know, I'm going to lose my job. And I haven't worked a physical job in my life or for a long period of time. What can I do? I can't go out and work a physical job. I don't have the body to do that. But then at the same time, he's also had a recognized position in society, and for him, this is going to be an embarrassing situation. I mean, you got to understand, he's the accountant for a rich man, and people know who this guy is. He's got a reputation in the community. He's been running around with the wealthy people in the community. And so he says here in verse 3, then the steward saith within himself, what shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me, or my boss is taking away from me my job. He's firing me. He says, I cannot dig, which means, you know, he didn't have the body that was fit enough to go and dig ditches or go and do physical work. To beg, I'm ashamed. Well, he was ashamed because, like I said, he had a recognized position. People knew who this man was. He was involved with all the rich people in the community. To beg, I'm ashamed. I'm resolved, verse 4, I'm resolved what to do, that when I'm put out of my stewardship or when I lose my job, they may receive me into their houses. He's thinking, you know, am I going to be taken care of? What am I going to do? He didn't have the body to work and physically, and he did not have the humility to beg. Couldn't do that. He was recognized in the community. He had a recognized, he was a respected person in the community. Verse 4, he says, I am resolved what to do, that when I am put out of my stewardship, that they may receive me into their houses. So he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him, and said unto the first, how much owest thou my Lord? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, take thy bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Whoa. Can you see what he did? He told this man, this debtor, this person that owed his Lord, he said, take your bill. The person owed him 100 measures of oil, or one measure is a gallon. So he owed him 800 gallons of oil. And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, take thy bill and sit down and write 50. So he cut the guy's bill in half. Then had said he to another, and how much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. 100 measures of wheat. 100 measures of wheat is 800 bushels. 800 bushels of wheat. And notice what he said. And he said unto him, take thy bill and write 80, cut it down to 80. And the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. Now look at this, for the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. Why did Jesus say this? Why did he commend the unjust steward for what he had done? I mean, this unjust steward was stealing from his Lord. Why did he say this? No, Jesus is not telling us to steal. Jesus is not telling us to take advantage of the people that we work with. This is theft. And if this man got caught, he would end up in prison. But why was he commended? It says, and the Lord commended. Notice he called him the unjust steward. So he's not saying that what the steward did was right, because he had done wisely, for the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. Now, why does he say this? Let's go on to verse 9. And I say unto you, so Jesus is commending the unjust steward for what he did, even though he calls him an unjust steward, but he does say that there's something that he did that was wise in comparison to the children of light. He said, the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. Verse 9. And I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness. What Jesus was saying is that this man recognized the power of money. He recognized what money would do in the world. Everything in the world runs on money. Everything that you own, somebody paid for. You paid for it. You know, every single thing that you own, if you own a house, money was involved. If you own a car, money was involved. Whoever made that car, money was involved. Whoever dug the products out of the ground, money was involved. Everything in this whole world, every natural thing, if you have land, money is involved. If you farm the land, money is involved. If you live on the land, money is involved. If you eat, money is involved. If you wear clothes, which you better, money is involved. Everything that you own, everything that you have naturally, if you have books, money is involved. If you're listening to these messages, money is involved. Everything we do, money is connected to it. And this is what Jesus was saying about the people in the world. This man recognized the power of money. And this man recognized that if he's going to have a life beyond this job, that he's going to manipulate these people by telling them to write their bill in half. And then when they write their bill in half and pay only half the bill, they're responsible too. And you know, if they turn this man in for what he's done, he can turn them in for what they've done. They've all committed to this crime. Well, Jesus is commending this unjust steward because he does recognize that there's power in money, and that's the only thing that he's commending. And for you and I as Christians, we need to recognize that the whole system of this world runs on money. And that's the point in this verse. And that's why Jesus is saying in verse 9, and I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of mammon of unrighteousness. Or Jesus is saying, use the power of money in the world. And we're gonna find out to use it for what? We're going to find out that the power of money in the world is to be used to bring people to Jesus. That's the whole purpose. Remember Deuteronomy 8 and verse 18? We saw this verse in previous messages, where it says that God gave them the power to get wealth, to establish his covenant. The purpose of the money is to establish the covenant, the kingdom of God, to advance the kingdom of God in the earth, to establish the covenant of God, to bring people to Jesus, to bring people to relationship with God as Father through accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, to use the power of money to share the gospel, to preach the gospel. I mean, you know, we have the most important thing to do in this world, and that's to bring people to Christ and to teach them who they are in Christ. This ought to be the focus of your life and the focus of your finances first, is that the gospel is preached, that people come to Christ, that people are born again, that people find out who they are in Christ. That's why Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Put God first. Put the things of God first with your money. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. I found that out. If I'll just seek ways to put the word out, God will bring the money in. And that's exactly what he's doing. And that's exactly what he's done. He's done that throughout my whole life. I've never had to put pressure on people to give. Never. Because God simply joins people together that have a heart to advance the kingdom of God and the teaching and the preaching of the word of God into the earth. That's what it's all about. Hallelujah. Ah, I tell you what, there's an anointing on this. I am so thankful. It says here in verse 9, "And I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that," now here it is, "that when you fail," or when you die, he's talking about when you leave this life, "they may receive you into everlasting habitations. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in the much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon," Jesus calls the money here unrighteous mammon, "who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's," well, who's the one that owns all this stuff? You and I, we're stewards. God is the one that owns the earth. The Bible says that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. He's the one that owns the whole thing. He just allowed you and I to live here and to enjoy what he owns. It's his. It's his money. It's his gold. It's his silver. He's the one that created it all. But he said, "Here, you take it, you enjoy it." He gave it to you and I. Isn't that awesome? Hallelujah. Doesn't matter how much you have, he's the source. And whether you believe it or not, he's still the source. He's still the one that created all of this that we have here in this life that we can enjoy. So, here in verse 9 again, it says, "And I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness." Well, the reason he says that is because of the unrighteous deed of this steward. This steward did not do the right thing, but yet the steward did recognize there's power in money, and money will do something. You know, you walk into a restaurant, and they'll tell you the restaurant's full, and you tell them you give them $100, 100 euros, I'll tell you something, they'll find you a table. They'll find you a place to sit. If you pay them enough, they'll find you a place to sit, even if they have to clear off a table somewhere and move somebody out. They'll find you. They'll find you a place to sit. There's power. There's power in money. And it's not that we use money to manipulate people. We don't. But we do recognize that everything in this natural world functions around money. And it does take money to preach the gospel. It does take money. Whatever God's called you to do, you're going to have finances in order to do it. If God's called, you know, if he's called you to business, you're going to have finances. He's called you to be in your neighborhood and be a light in your neighborhood, you're going to have finances. He's over and over, whatever he's called you to do, whatever he's called you to do, it's going to take money in order for you to get it done. And the more money that you have, the more you can do for God. That's always the issue. Finances are around everything in the natural. And what Jesus is saying here is that where we have put our money, it says when we die, they're going to receive us into everlasting habitations. Well, what is the everlasting habitation? The everlasting habitation is heaven. It's the place that we're all going to. And what Jesus is saying is for every ministry that ministered for, or everything that you've sowed your money into that has changed people's lives, that has brought them to Christ, that has taught them who they are in Christ, when they get to heaven, all these people that came to the Lord through the ministries that you invested into are going to be there to thank you that you had a part to play in their life that was changed. I'm so thankful. You know, when I was 7 years old, I got born again. I got born again through a Baptist children's ministry in the basement of a woman's home. And I'm thankful that somebody put money into that ministry that I could hear the gospel. And that somebody put money into that ministry so that they could have something in the basement of that woman's home. And yes, it did cost money. She had things that she blessed the kids with, prizes that she gave away to the kids. She was spending her money to, you know, use the electricity and all the different things that were involved, and even bringing the kids together in an afternoon after school. She did this on a regular basis. It was an after-school ministry. You know, I'm thankful for the ministries that have put the Word of God into my life. And I could name many, many ministries that that I've received inspiration from, that have taught me the Word of God, that have changed my life. I'm thankful for all the books that I have. I'm thankful for all the CDs and all these different things. I'm thankful that I have a Bible and that somebody put money into the translation of the Word of God into English and got those things going. And we can go on and on. You understand. I mean, it goes deep. This goes deep. And this is what Jesus is saying. You know, every single thing that you sow your finances into that is changing other people's lives, when you get to heaven, those people are going to receive you. And they're going to thank you for sowing into those ministries that have changed their lives. And I say that even about this ministry. I'm telling you, we're going to nations. And if you're involved with us, and even those of you that are attending Bible school, and those of you that are sowing into the Bible school, and we make this available on a donation basis, I don't want to put a fee on this. And I'll tell you why. Because I want to go into those nations, not only the rich nations where the standard of living is very high and people can, you know, could pay a lot for it. But I want to go into nations where people have very little and give them the Word of God, knowing that it's the Word of God that's going to change their life and bring their living condition up to a much higher level. That's what it's all about. I want people to know Jesus, and I want to get this message out in a way that we can get it to them. And with this internet ministry, this is exactly what we can do. We can go to every single nation that has internet access. And that's what we're doing. And so when you're sowing into this ministry, that's what you're doing. You're not only sowing, you're not paying for something. Don't look at it that way. Don't look at it as I'm paying for the Bible school. No, you're sowing. You're giving into this ministry. And when you give into other ministries, and I say the same thing, when you give into other ministries, and we as a ministry, we give into other ministries. We take 10% of everything that comes into this ministry and we sow it into other ministries because we want to be involved in other ministries as well. All of this hooks us together, and we use the money that God has blessed us with to advance His work in the earth. And that's exactly the point that Jesus is making. Well, I'll tell you what, we've had a class and a half today, and this has just been awesome, and I trust that you've been blessed through the teaching that you have heard today. And in our next class, we're going to continue where we left off. This is Mark Irwin with From Faith to Faith to the Nations. And I want to pray for you right now. Father, I thank you in Jesus' name for being able to teach your word and for the anointing right now that's on this class, and that we have the sight, Lord, for the purpose of prosperity. And I thank you that you have blessed us. And I thank you, Father, that you blessed us in this life, and that we can enjoy the things of this life. But most importantly, Father, that we can use our finances, that your work can be done in the earth. And I thank you, Father, that I'm speaking to students right now. They're rich, and I speak that into their life. They are rich. They're rich in everything that they put their hand to. And the seed that they have, it multiplies and it increases, and they go forward without any limits in their finances. And this is what I see, and this is what I speak over them. That angels are out there working for them, that the Holy Spirit is giving them wisdom to know what to do with their money. And I just speak these things right now over them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This is Mark Irwin, and I look forward to being with you as we continue on walking in divine prosperity.